Hello, welcome into episode 95 of Keith's Craft Collective. I'm Louise, and this is
Richard,
and he's with us all episodes this episode, and we've also got a snorri quattro in the background. This is the big Hogmanay party episode, and you are all invited to. So come new, come old, all you come, listeners, and you come. We've also got a dram section with a single malt Strath Islay 12-year-old whisky. I sponsor this from my own business, www.energyhunt.com, which is Northern Scotland's premier renewable engineering service. It pays for my wage and therefore your podcast. Any links are with the show notes, so get your cup of tea or your dram and I'll let you know what crack is and Keith is this week. Right, you lot, grab your dancing shoes because this is the Keith's Craft Collective Podcast annual Hogmanay party, and it is time to party. Okay, so here you are. Why are you here? Well, in Scotland we call the 31st of December Hogmanay. Normally we've got a bit of a party because it's the dark end of the year and we like to be cheered up. Scots are known for whisky and drinking, so really that's what Hogmanay is all about. We traditionally stay up till midnight, have a big drink to see in the new year. Some people leave the doors open to see out the old year and in the new. We eat black bung, which is fruitcake, and we dance to ceilidhs, which are accordions, a violin called a fiddle. And then we go around to our neighbour's house, Neebs, if you're from Fife, and you first foot them with a bottle of alcohol, a lump of coal for the fire, and a bit of cake. Then you see all your friends, you catch up, wishing everyone a happy new year, kiss everyone and anyone, and this is going to be our version. So come in, come over, come up, come down from wherever you are. Here I sound like Glenda the Witch telling the Munchkins to come out of hiding. Well, that's me tonight, and I'm wearing a dress because it's pretty. We've still got the landing strip out the front that Sandy decided he wanted in his picture of his dream house when he drew a couple of years ago. So fly in, take your cruise ship, park it in the harbour. Drive up the A9, but watch it because Berrydale was a bit icy on Sunday night. Especially you, Yarn Salad. I hear you're into bursting your tires. So none of that tonight. 2013's drawing to a close. We've got our new calendars ready because 2014 is well on its way. We've got the big shed all ready for its fairy lights on, which the turbine has been making plenty of electricity for the past month because it's been very windy. As there are quite a lot of you know, I've got the magic on it. Harry Potter's big in our house and I love the magic of all of that. Tonight I'm again borrowing the room of requirement, but we're putting it into my big shed. So there's fancy heating, a gigantic dance floor, a big restaurant with my finest whisky bar you've ever seen. And I've kind of borrowed the Great Scottish Tapestry for the night so you can all have a look. It's a quiet room off to the side so you can go and have a bit of a wander when your feet are tired. Because we've got all the musicians we've played this year so far in the lineup, from Mark Gunn to the Carnivores to Jara. And of course, I've decided Addie Harper's Ceilidh Band from Wick, or the Star Guests. Because tonight, listeners, we're having a ceilidh. I see Louise Scully has taken some of her Shetland fiddlers, so we're in for a treat because they can play the best song of the world to the devil and win. So come in, come in, come out the cold Caithness night air. And we're using our time turners from Harry Potter again to get everyone in and settled around the same time. Then, of course, we have to talk for a good hour to everyone. There's Mad Mum meet Suff, meet Wollumby Dreamer, meet Three Bad Cats, meet PG Knittingers for starters. We have to admire the shawls, the cowls, the hats, the mitts, the socks, the jumpers, the cardigans, the quilts, the embroidery, what you've all been doing this year. We're looking back at the crazes we've had this year. We went Natalie Servant mad in November. Some of you are still going Martina Bam daft now. Stephen West has started a new craze with his spants. Don't think I'll be joining in. But we'll pass over the jumpers for you if you want to jump on said craze. We've all got the same cheap knitting needles from China this year via eBay, so we've got that gang to join in. And everyone turn and pat your neighbour's back. Yep, you, Che Mama. I'm pretty certain that each and every one of you have made something for someone else in 2013. Lots of you have made things for charity, be it Mother Bears, Halos for Hope hats, fish and chip babies, jumpers, Linus quilts or quilts for Alzheimer's, or hats for innocent smoothies. At one point or other throughout the year, you've done something for someone else, and I'm thankful that you've done that. I hope we all carry on to make for others, be it someone that we know or someone we never meet. I think it'll be a lovely New Year resolution. Let's remember the holidays we went on, some to hot and wonderful places, some to cold and wet places. I was so, so fortunate this year that we went to Disneyland Paris to see Mickey Mouse. I made the Bairns a Mickey Mouse hat, each in secret. It was happy days. I was also fortunate to meet some of you lovely, lovely listeners in Edinburgh, London and Glasgow this year. The lovely Blaith Hall and Ceiridhan Davis being my escorts, and oh, of course my mum, at these days. I will have special mention for the London crew, for Fiona, Sam and Kerry, the lovely, lovely Ruby, whom I shared watching Andy Murray win Wimbledon whilst knitting in the pub in 30 degree heat, shouting at Gerald Butler on the telly. It's one of my favourite memories, let me tell you. Of course, sticking to the chair was not. We, of course, will all stand and start this party to see Grace and thank you for all the friends we are surrounded by, the crafty goodness that binds us with friendship. We are also going to raise a glass to those we've passed on this year and now we're only in our hearts. It is important to remember whilst we look forward. New Year is a time of reflection, of hope, of new things and of resolutions. Are you having any? I've not decided yet. I'm in training to do May 10K, which is in the month of May in the village of May, where I live in Scotland. I'd love to have a team, Louise, so if you fancy doing it, you have to sign up pretty soon, but tell me and we can get a gang to go round. It's quite a flat course, but train for wind. Okay, you're getting a bit restless now with me rabbiting on the stage. I've got one of those Dumbledore microphones and you're all feeling the need to clean toilets, as that's what you normally do when you listen to me. However, we have podcasters to meet, so come up on stage, all my podcaster friends. I'll tell you all the list of podcasts on my iPhone today. And these are in no particular order, so don't take offence if you're first or last. And I don't normally tell you all of them, because I'm not sure some of you like it that I don't listen to the ones you like to. But here goes. First, we've got Knitting Pipelines Paula, Knit Spin Cakes Amy, Knit One Geek Two Maggie and Karen, The History Extra Podcast. They seem to be a bit awkward surrounded by so many rabid knitters, but they soon feel at home when the Oxford Biographies, the Craft Lit, Desert Island Discs and the American Life tip up. And then we've got Friday Night Comedy and from Radio 4. And of course, High Fibre Diet's Coggy and Sarge are here now, so we know that the party has indeed started. The Radio 4's books and authors and the book club gang are here. Craft Life, who's on hiatus, but she's still included, and I live in hope. A Playful Day, because obviously there's gin involved. Rod Gilbert's Best Bits. Shorty Sutures Kelly. Yarns from the Plain Nick, who is my muse and my inspiration. The Nick Picks gang, but mostly Kelly Pitkin, who is bound to be spindling and organising things up the back. Actually, if I point her in the way of my craft room, maybe she'll do it before she goes home. Organise, Kelly, organise. Shiny Bee, who's hopefully invited her husband's work, and also taken all her stock from the Golden Skein to show off. The Twin Set Designs, Jan and Ellen, who are my triplets. You can't tell us apart now, can you? Oh, they've got Dorito the Alpaca and his gang here too. So they'll keep us warm and they wanted to swap stories with the Electric Sheep, who's here. And Hoxton, get the bunting out and the gin. Subway Knits Maria and hopefully she's got Adele the dog with her for my quota to play with. Black Isle Sheila, who's not doing any cooking tonight. Not because we've got the house sales for this party, but I pay mine Hermione, so don't be picketing me. I Makes Martine and her crew of Charles, Kate and Chloe are here. Of course, I'm in heaven. Charles is comparing tips with the house elves on cooking things and Kate's exhausted from us all buying the Golden Skein stock. Martine is in training so she can't have too much of the whiskey, but she's putting us through our May 10K pieces in preparation for our London Marathon. So everybody get your pom-poms out and shake them. The Knitmore girls are holding court up the top. The Lost Geeks Arlen has taken in the new year in Indonesia. Enjoyed it so much she's time-travelled herself here to have it with us as well. Knit the Stories, Jen and Lex. Stitch Together's Chrissy. Kate's Quilting Corner. Down Cellar Studio, Jen. The Knitting Dish and Juniper Grace videocasts are here. I am knackered after telling you all them. So I'm going to start the music off and you can all have a bit of a dance. Oh, look at those kilt socks that Diane Jensen has made. Along with her lovely husband Arlen will be your dance compares tonight. So don't even think about saying, oh, I don't know how to do that dance. They walk you through all of them and they will have a Highland Skittish and a Canadian barn dance with the rest of them. I actually had a Canadian barn dance tune stuck in my head when I was out running yesterday. It had quite a nice beat to it, so I was doing the arm movements while I was plodding around. And I'm on 6K distance now. Richard's bought me a 10K training book, so it's really good. So now the dancing is full swing. We've got plenty of time for knitting and the eating and the drinking. I shall now invite you into the Whiskey Haven Arena. Every whiskey that has ever been distilled is now available for your tasting. So step up now, everyone. No, Louise Colley. I don't care if you normally drink Bacardi. This is a magic night, so you will drink it at my party. If you don't drink alcohol, you can still drink this because it doesn't actually have any alcohol on it in this magic land, so sorted. For the rest of us, get in. I now invite Richard for the drams of a Strath Isla 12-year-old single malt whiskey. It's been very quiet and very good so far. Also in this will be the Ask Louise Questions section, where I've invited you to ask things that you've wondered about, and we'll do our best to answer them. So would you like to begin?
We're drumming. I hope you like drumming too. Hello.
I'm going to say hello because this is what I normally do. Right, so the box is quite a short box.
My ears are still catching up and all that.
I know, I did draw a breath there once or twice. But I think I read a bit faster when I'm reading off a script. So this box is whitey cream. It's got a little bit of pink on it and lots of script about the beautiful distillery of Strath Isle and the magnificent Speyside countryside reflecting the distillery's heritage, and I've lost the will to live.
And it's another one that's in the Highlands but isn't in Keith.
Yeah, I think it's the type of whiskey.
Is it Keith or is it Elgin? I can't mind.
We'll see if we can find out. So it's the oldest distillery in the Highlands of Scotland. Okay, right, yeah. I think we should do them for copyright. It's not a very exciting box, but it's nice enough.
It's a box.
It's
functional.
It's functional. It's got the logo or their coat of arms at the top. And apart from that, that's it. So the bottle is a squat little bottle. Quite a nice bottle shape.
It's a nice, I'd say like the kind of, I could see this in a saloon bar in the Wild West. Is that kind of?
No, it's too dumpy.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They always have thin bottles. This is a short, squat, dumpy bottle.
Mm. That is Keith, by the way.
Yes, Keith.
Keith.
Not in the Highlands.
Twin for the Highlands.
So, colour in the bottle, dear.
Colour in the bottle. I'm thinking Chewbacca there.
Yes.
Yeah. Who was on telly? Earlier on.
He was. We watched him.
He's still angry because he never got a medal.
Well, do you know, actually, when I was watching The Return of the Jedi, he's the one that wins it for them, because he's the one that gets the walkie thing with the Ewoks, and it all turns around for him. And he doesn't get a medal.
He didn't get a medal in the first one.
That's Chewbacca.
He's one of these kind of quiet guys, just takes it all in.
Well, he knows that he can rip all their arms off anyway.
Yeah.
Except on New Year's, he wouldn't be doing that.
No, we'll let the Wookiee win.
Yeah. So Cork.
Enjoy Strath Isle responsibly.
So this is a drink responsibly .com, except at New Year. Just don't drink and drive, that's all I'm going to say.
Squeaky.
There's no ending to that.
I finished that.
Right. And
right.
Pour. We've got the posh glasses out tonight.
Oh, sure you have.
Yeah. Rennie Macintosh ones that Maura gave us. Now, how much would you say you have poured me? Is that about
an inch? That's one of my wee fingers. No, it's never an inch.
I'm tempted to get the ruler out, but I can't really be bothered.
No, it's a wee finger.
He's got sausage fingers. I'm just trying to describe for the listeners how much dram that we
have. Well, that's
a
large one.
That's a large one. Yeah. Now, the smell. Lots of smells in that.
Yeah, I'm quite the opposite way.
Are you?
Quite subtle.
It's not. No, it's quite a subtle, I'd say sort of a flowery type of one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, because it's Speyside, I'm thinking barley. But it's all made with barley, isn't it?
I don't know. I think it's seated, does it? Because I'm not getting much smell.
No, the smell of my nose has got used to it. Mm. So, the colour in the glass, again, Chewbacca, saving the world in his little at-at.
And I'm wiggling it around the glass here, and it's just hanging up there quite nicely, like a pair of curtains.
And
no, I'm not getting much smell at all in there. But I've had it before, and it's like this bottle.
Yes.
These are the last two drams out of it.
Yes. We bought this at the end of November, because
our friends Graham and Ali,
yeah,
his bairn Isla was 1 year old. I thought that was quite nice, Strith Isla.
Yeah,
I'm a bit sentimental that way.
You are, and it's
and it was an impulse.
It's spelled Strathisla. So you say Isla.
Strath Isla.
Mm. So would you like to put a little droppy of water in it for me?
How much water would you like? Because that's one of your questions, wasn't it? 50-50? Not quite a finger?
Not quite 50-50 for me, please. We'll come on to that. Or will we just use that question just now, actually?
If you wish.
Now, well, there we are. It's actually the first question. Timber Flute asked, and she says, it's not a crafty question, which is fine. I've been wondering how much water you and Richard add to your drams. I usually add just a few drops to mine, but in your dram section, it sounds you're adding quite a lot more. Just curious.
In your case, it all being a matter of taste, you, I would say you've probably got a kind of a 2-to-1 ratio. Maybe about 50% water.
And it is completely a choice thing. If you just like a little dribble of water in yours, have a little dribble. They do recommend that you put in some kind of water to release it out, don't you? But
some people say, and you get some people that say it's sacrilege to put ice cubes in because it spoils the flavour. Some people don't put anything in. Some people put Coca-Cola in it. It's all a matter of taste.
I would say it's a matter of taste, but also if you're finding it quite a harsh and rough dram, maybe add a bit more water and see if the second taste is a bit better, because we did that with, I think it was a young 8 year old.
It was the 8 year old Gordon McPhail. McPhail O'Pultney here, aren't I?
And it was the Gordon McPhail O'Pultney 8 year old.
It was like gargling sandpaper.
And it helped it immensely getting in a little bit extra water. But other drams don't need it.
No.
So just try different amount, because you're going to have more than one glass of one glass of whiskey out of a bottle.
My personal preference is about, for every measure, I would have maybe one raindrop. There you go.
You just put the water jug onto my notes.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. Right. So we slange.
Slange of that.
Thanks, bye, listeners. I am getting toffee.
See, my first taste, I kind of got a medicinal kind of taste. And then it really dissipated very quickly and quite smoothly going down the back of the throat, the aftertaste.
Has this got tasty notes at any point in turn?
Don't think so.
Oh, well. No. Let's make it up, listeners. Oh, 70 centilitre bottle, 40% alcohol. Distilled and matured and bottled in Scotland by Chivas Brothers, Strath Isla Distillery, Chivas, I don't know, Keith. It's over there, which they're all screaming at me, but you're just up there, so it makes a big difference if you're doing that way. Sorry, Keith people.
So what?
I like your whiskey, that's nice. I do like this.
I like it too. Yeah, second taste, I'm getting still got a kind of medicinal flavour, first taste, and then the aftertaste it goes in.
No, I'm getting quite a sort of buttery, chocolatey, toffee.
I'm getting kind of flowery. Toffee, I get toffee.
No peat.
No, or smoke.
No. Which is unusual for me because I'm not a big one into non-peaty and non-smoky. Right. Who are you going to have for your drams?
Well,
I hope he doesn't choose my one, listeners, because we've not told who each other we're having.
Well, I'm going to have...
This, of course...
And you're going to be surprised.
This is over and above everybody that is a listener. A new listener and an old listener.
Right.
There's plenty of room for you new listeners. We don't normally do this. We normally just do a script. So carry on.
Right, hold your jaw. I'm going to have Harry Potter.
I'm not holding my jaw. I'm not surprised, because we watched the Deathly Hallows Part 1 tonight.
Yep.
Why?
Well, I don't like the films. They're entertainment, as that kind of film goes. I've never read a book of the Harry Potter lot. I just want to explain what is going on, because I don't have a clue.
The books.
I'm left behind. I just don't have time in my life to read the books.
You've got a daisy to read them all to.
Oh, aye, true.
Yeah, she's getting to the age where she needs them.
I could maybe do that.
I would recommend anybody reading the book. And I know not everybody's got the same imagination, but they're written for kids and you're not going to use an awful lot of time in the first book. If you don't get it, fair enough. But I just think that if you disappear into a book, it's just as easy to disappear into a Harry Potter book.
Oh, I'm sure. I like Tolkien and all that stuff. I loved it when I was young.
And she also ties in lots and lots and lots. It's like reading a crime thriller because she puts in clues all the way through all the books and doesn't tie them up right until the end.
I think that'll be my New Year's resolution. I shall read the first one to Daisy and see how I get on.
Whether she likes it or not.
If she doesn't like it, I can read it other times. I'll see how I get on. Anyway, so I was going to have Harry around, and he could bring his pals if you want to help him explain to me what it's all about. And maybe I would get it. Because I don't get it just now. But I watch it like any other film that I'm not really into, but I'll watch it. It's entertaining. The bears love it. So, who would you have?
Well, Matthew. Tonight I'm going to have...
Matthew?
No. I never really liked him. I'm going to have Mrs. Brown's boys cast.
Oh man, that would be mental.
Which one would that be? Mrs. Brown's Boys is a comedy programme from Ireland and they are so funny. So that's who I'm going to have. Right.
That's lovely whiskey, that.
Have you got anything to say about the area where this is from?
Yeah, I travel through it very often. In fact, about every week I've been up through it or flown over it. And I'll come on to that question in a second.
Okay.
Yeah, I know it well. I don't actually stop in Huntly. But it's kind of, as I say, it's in between...
Is it rural?
Yeah, it's in amongst the rural...
Hilly?
Sort of rolling hills, okay. At that point. Mm-hmm. Rolling hills.
Right, okay.
Okay. It's in between Fochabers, and I stop there and go mountain biking quite often.
Oh, Fochabers. Remember when we were having the Fochabers conversation? There's places that Wyvern friends said... In Ireland, that she loved the names of, and there's some in Wales as well.
Echelfechan.
They all have them. It's brilliant. If you've got a town name that sounds funny, you tell me, it'd be great.
And then Huntley's, I guess, much the same.
So would you recommend this tram?
Very much so, it's a nice tram.
Yes, I would buy this again.
It's not got a standout, massively striking...
Flavour. Box.
But it's nice, it's very easy drunk.
It's lovely, yes.
It's not no nasty sort of burning.
Because we've got up there a Balvenie, the Dalmore still that's encased in gold. There's...
The cigar malt.
The Glenlivet 15, and there's a Ladaig, and there's a famous grouse. So we've got a fair things, and actually this was my choice to drink. I wanted to drink this, because I like it, out of all them.
Well, it's been sitting there burning a hole in the bottom of the box. Because it is so nice.
Yeah. So, I thought we could have, and I've heard this in a couple of other podcasts, ask the podcaster question section. So I invited you to ask things that you've wondered about. And the first question was timber flutes, and we've done that one. So, second question is from Kirsty O'Malley in Canada. She said, it's not the party question, I know, but I found myself thinking about the clan system in Scotland and wondered whether you would mind explaining that a bit, if you can. Would you like to go ahead?
Well, I think because you're Louise Hunt Nee Mackay.
Mm-hmm.
Mackay's a traditional clan name, whereas Hunt
isn't.
It's an Irish origin name.
The clan system... I never did any research into this. I apologise, I did mean to. But it was a sort of tribal type of way of back in the day... Pictish and beyond times where there would be an area such as in Sutherland, the north of Sutherland, that is where the Mackay clan originates from. Pretty much everybody around there was called Mackay. And Mac is son of Kai. And you would have Macpherson, Mackay, McInnes. And these would all be son of Innes, son of Ferson, etc., etc. MacLeod, there's loads and loads of Macs. And then there was others such as Guns, which there's a lot of them in Caithness, and Sinclairs, Innes, Oaks. And it would be just like a royal family. There was a head of the clan. He's called the clan chief. And the family would work around him, and he would be the one that protect the family. So back when the kings had a big feud and Scotland got taken over by a king, and then Scotland got taken over by the English, and then fused when James the Sixth came in, the clan system kind of broke down. And also it was in the Jacobean Rebellion, some of the families went for one side and some of the other families went for the other side. So when the Bonnie Prince Charlie got kicked out of Scotland and the revolt was overrun, they tried to abolish anything to do with the clans, anything to do with Scottish or the people that were supporting Bonnie Prince Charlie. So the clan system became more of a, it was just a name, and now it's just a, you are, your name is Mackay, and
it's
there's
a heritage thing.
It's a heritage thing, and there's a lot of you in a certain area, and I think it's more of a big thing if you know who the clan chief is, because they still, there is still a clan chief of all the clans, the recognised names from back in the day. And if you're over in a different country for the diaspora, you could come back and trace back where all the Mackays came from, which is Betty Hill and the north of Sutherland, which is where my relations came from. So hopefully that answered a bit of your question. It's quite a big subject.
Oh, it's a massive subject. Mm-hmm. I'm very passionate to some people.
Very,
so.
Yeah. Right, so thank you, Kirsty O'Malley, who's a lovely listener. On to Lyra, who's Louise Scully in Shetland. What are your festive tipples going to be this year? Do you like a certain dram at a certain time of year? She's not a big spirit drinker, but always full of good ones. I do like a wee Bacardi or a vodka at Christmas time.
I love a wee vodka out the freezer with a wee bit of tonic in it.
No, that's not a certain time of the year. You like that all year.
Well.
Yes.
On the rare occasion to have one, it's not necessarily a seasonal thing.
Now, I don't necessarily like a certain whiskey because we're so busy trying to taste all of them. I don't often go back to any of them. I do like an Old Pulteney 12. But we've actually got a bottle of pink champagne for New Year. And
Some Duchers.
Oh, and guess who's now been followed by Duchers IPA on Twitter?
Who's been followed by Duchers IPA on Twitter?
Me!
Why is that?
Because I was tweeting on Christmas Eve that Santa was getting Duchers for his Christmas tipple. So Duchers IPA seemed to be delighted about this and started following me and replying to my tweets.
They'll be pleased that Santa has such fine taste.
Yes. And Duchers IPA will be celebrated again just now and with the Hogmanay.
Yes.
So we kind of drink lots of different things for tasting through the year, but you've got a bottle of Famous Grouse for going first footing.
Aye, well, I get a fresh bottle for the New Year because most of the other ones are kind of getting empty.
Mm-hmm.
And it wouldn't be doing to run out going in someone's house.
Oh, no, that would be bad juju. So, Lyra, Louise. No, we don't. Richard likes Duchers all the time.
Duchers is a light, it's India Pale Ale. Mm-hmm. It's very fresh, kind of citrusy, light ale. It's not lager, it's not beer, it's kind of in between, and it's not very alcoholic, it's quite low alcohol in it. So I like it, just kind of quite refreshing.
I like a white wine, a Pinot Grigio. That's my drink of choice, and I just like a little bit of it. Or I like a Hendrick's gin. It's just we like the ball. That's what we said. I don't mind the gin inside, but I like the ball. So on to Sandrada. She says it's not craft related, but Energy Hunt sponsors our favourite podcast. Oh, thanks, Sandrada. Could you please tell us a little about the company and your and Richard's role? Could you tell us about this one?
Right. Energy Hunt was formed as a concept back in about 2003. When I had a wee bit of time off after I had an accident climbing, and started off, I was just doing wee part-time jobs here and there, just on the side. I had a job working for the electricity utility where we lived at the time, down in Oban, and the opportunity came to take voluntary redundancy, so I took it, formed basically Energy Hunt as my full-time employer, and Louise's. We did a year's working in developing research projects for renewables. Then I went back working as 3 Energy Hunt, basically doing my old role in the big fossil fuel, gas, biofuel and waste power stations, working as what's called a senior authorised person, which is a guy who does all the isolations and putting guys to work, taking guys off the job and acting as a clerk of works and commissioning plant and apparatus. And then we did the last 5-6 years, we've been, I would say an engineering consultancy would be the best description, but what we do is we represent large utilities by virtue of our location, that we can, because we're quite remote, we can get to sites quite quickly and represent large businesses. We also do a bit of design work on substations and generation plant for the grid connections, and we do a fair bit of marine oriented work as well, because up until recently we've always had a boat as well for doing surveys and charters and a wee bit of fishing on the side. But as of early next year, end of January, I've been offered a role working for the local utility up here. So whilst Energy Hunt will continue to operate in a smaller scale, our main income will be working full time for the electricity utility up here for the next couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll carry on doing marine oriented work and some survey work.
Mm-hmm. That was quite a big decision to make.
Very big.
We've been trying to get to work for them for quite a long time, and they've offered us quite a few roles over the years, but they won't give it us through Energy Hunt. So we discussed it and we decided that instead of having to do the marketing with a small business, it's quite difficult, and we're both fed up being
salespeople rather
and
than engineers.
Sometimes you just feel like your face doesn't fit. And also, the industry itself has slowed down remarkably in the past year. Some of that's to do with the financial slowdown, and some of that's to do with the fact that nobody wants to invest in Scotland just now with the independence referendum coming up.
Mm-hmm.
So that we knew that we were going to have a stable income in the future.
And I could do a wee bit of personal development and work on local projects, mm-hmm, and stay more in bed.
Yes, we took a big decision not to close the company, but to take a sidestep into working for SAC.
Scottish Southern Energy.
Yeah, I think
the board.
I think we can see that, because it's a client we've worked for before.
For quite a few years.
Yes.
But for the work up here, they wanted someone basically working for them full time.
Mm-hmm.
And not involved in any other projects.
And so it's one thing that will tie up everything, whether it be renewable or any other kind of electricity generation, the distribution and transmission network. So that's what Richard wants to do. So I'm going to stand behind him, and I'm getting made redundant. Technically not,
because don't fear, because the business is still operating just in a small vein. It's still going to sponsor the podcast.
Yes. So, big changes ahead, and I'm taking you along with me, so I'll let you know how we get on, but it was quite an appropriate time to tell you as well. Now, this...
Can I just add, I'm kind of looking forward to the unique position of not working 60 hours a week, instead of being working, well, in theory, 37 hours a week.
You won't.
I know I won't.
You're not that kind of person. But I'm looking forward to the Saturday... Well, the every nights when he's sitting there doing his... catching up emails, and he says, can you read that for me before I send it? And then he gets up at 6 and does the same thing, and can you read that before I send it, which is what I do, but I can't concentrate at that time of day. So I'll still be doing the accounts, because with a company you can't just stop, you have to kind of carry on and tie up things, so there's still things that will have to be going on. So that's what my role will be. And on to the next question. You have a wind turbine at home. Do you manage to generate all your energy needs, and are you off-grid? This is from Ivy Fox.
Yes, we have a wind turbine at home.
Called George.
In theory, in meterage, it generates twice our electrical requirement, but we're not off-grid. So what we do is we sell all our... It seems ironic we do this. We sell all our metered electrical generation back to the utility, and we import our electrical needs through a separate meter. Well, it's the same meter, but a separate metering counter. So we buy our electricity in and we sell all our electricity out. On aggregate, we produce twice what we actually use, but we're invoiced for our usage. And we
that's the way it works in Britain. I know quite a lot of you are interested in this because some of you are thinking
about it.
Well,
you can mix and match. It doesn't necessarily work that across the board.
Oh, well, that's just the way we choose to do it.
That's the way we do it. Because, I mean, at times there isn't any wind, we still need electricity. And other times there's well in excess of the wind required to produce the electricity we're using. Most of the time. Right?
Although, ironically, we came home last night from being down in Oban. And it wasn't turning, and we both freaked out because we thought it was broken. And then the wind picked up, and we were looking out in the blacks. Oh, it's okay, it's going.
So it does well. I mean, it paid itself off very quickly, but then because I'm, I guess, involved in the industry, I did it a lot cheaper than your Joe Blogs off the street could do it.
But they would pay it off quite quickly. If what size do we have?
Ours is only a wee tiny 3.2 kilowatts.
And how tall is it?
8.5 metres or so.
Which you need planning permission for in Britain. So, I quite like it.
No, it's makes us a bit of cash.
Mm-hmm.
We practice what we preach in the sense of the renewables we work in.
And it is quite a sturdy thing, so because of the speed of the wind we get here, it's designed so that it furls in but it doesn't stop.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
It's a downwind turbine. It's quick. I would say it's quite a prehistoric kind of basic looking thing, but it certainly stands up to the winds we've had here, and a lot of other ones locally that have got all singing, all dancing types have had lots of issues. Mm-hmm. Ours has had problems, but it's very simple to lower, to service, to check, inspect, and put back up.
It's a machine after all.
That's a machine, you need to look after it.
Mm-hmm. Like your washing machine or your Hoover, you need to keep it serviced. So thank you, Ivy Fox, you lovely listener. You've got another question coming up. Thistle Ridge Farm, who sent us a lovely letter a while ago. This is a Scottish question. Is there any underlying animosity between the Scottish and the British? There are still some aspiration casting between Northerners and Southerners here in the States. I'm asking because I was watching William and Mary, she's Scottish, he's British in the show, and I just wondered. Well, I'll deal with that one, Richard, because you get all cynical.
I'm quite passionate about this one.
Right. Scotland is part of the United Kingdom of Great Britain. United Kingdom of Great Britain includes Northern Ireland, Wales, Scotland and England. Scotland is its own country and its own right for certain things, but it is part of the United Kingdom of Great Britain's government. We do have our own government for certain issues, but not an awful lot. Some people do harbour animosity, but it can be seen as being racist. And I certainly don't. My mother's English, Richard's family are English, and I think I would be an absolute hypocrite if I did. It rankles me when people say, oh, the English this and the English that.
Or the one that really, really, really bugs me. I'm not racist, but I hate the English.
Yes.
That is just awful.
Now, I'm sure it happens in England when there's Scottish people, and maybe it happens the other way around, but yes, I'd say that there is animosity if you're thinking about a long history past. I don't know. I think people just like an excuse, and if they don't like somebody,
an excuse
like
to blame
them.
Things.
The way I see it is, you don't like a person because you don't like the person. They might have religion behind them, they might have a background behind them, they might have a colour behind them, but you should take each and every person by the person you are presented to. They might be over opinionated, they might be under opinionated, but each and every person has something to offer this world, and whether you agree with them or not, that's just the way it is. Not everybody's going to get on with everybody, but what I don't like is when somebody offers their opinion without you asking for it. So I'm not actually familiar with William and Mary, but Scotland is still part of the United Kingdom of Great Britain. And yes, there is still animosity. Some of it is humorous.
It's a very passionate country as well, should be noted.
Yes.
You know, and there's a fine line between...
Very proud as well.
There's a fine line between
But so is it England, yes.
And having a bit of crack and taunts and just, you know,
You see it particularly in the football. Yeah. And the rugby's, I think, it's there as well, but not as
prevalent.
Vitriolic.
Mm-hmm.
But some people take it way too far beyond, above and beyond, and you see people getting picked on in schools and stuff.
Yeah,
that's because their parents are English and things like that. It's something I suffered from,
mm-hmm.
and that really is out of order.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nothing wrong with being proud of your country and its heritage. And
no, there's nothing wrong with being proud of your country, but to be
but there's a limit.
Putting that in front of because somebody was brought up somewhere else and has now moved to where you live. I don't think that's got any.
No, not at all. It's no need for it.
I'm proud to be Scottish, but I'm also proud to be British. And she also hoped we had a good Christmas with the young'uns, which we did.
Fantastic.
3:15 they woke up. Santa's been. Guess go back to bed. So the lovely Spajo, hello, asked, did I grow up in Caithness? Yes, I did. I was born and brought up in Caithness until I was 18. And then I lived in Edinburgh, where I went to university. And then I lived in a little place called Balfron, just north of Glasgow. And then I lived in Stirling. Then I lived in Oban. And then I moved back up north to Caithness. Where did you and your husband meet?
We were both sober.
Yes.
In the Waterfront nightclub in Wick.
In 1993?
We were both sober. And it was my turn to drive because I was staying in a wee shed up near Dunray in my sandwich year,
mm-hmm.
when I was at college. And it's been the most expensive night out ever in my life. I'm still paying for it.
He's so lovely. And finally, where do you buy yarn? I buy wool from my local yarn shop, Elizabeth's, in Thurso. I buy it from when I go off to craft shows. I buy it online sometimes if I want a specific type of wool or colour. And I also buy it in cheap and cheerful shops, like the charity shop sometimes. And sometimes I get it in Hobbycraft. I get it everywhere. And also I get a lot sent to me from you lovely listeners. And I sometimes do the yarn club, the Golden Skein, which was uber cool. Thank you, Spajo. Love to the Dean Indy and all your family. Tales from the Plains, Nick. Bless her. I love Nick. I am very nosy. That's okay. Everybody, can you tweet Tales from the Plain? Because her Twitter beeps when she gets a message. Everybody, beep. So I'd like to know whereabouts from the northeast of England that my mum comes from. My mum comes from Ashington, which is 17 miles north of Newcastle.
It's nice.
It was an old
posh
mining town, and obviously when the colliery closed, which is where my granddad worked, the Woodhorn Colliery, the area went into decline. But it's very lively. It's got a great football club, Ashington FC. They do a lot of good work around the town, and most of my mother's family are still there. So
a lovely place. A very welcoming place.
A very welcoming place. Very, 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 very welcoming place. Yeah. So it's got a special place in my heart. It's where I spent all my holidays when I was a child.
I've been down a few times.
Mm-hmm.
It's lovely. Lovely spot.
I'd also love to hear your views. Sorry, this is back to Nick. Nick says, I'd also love to hear your views on the Scottish independence issue, but it's a very personal political view. I'm not expecting you to provide an answer. Make like Susan Calment on the news quiz. Yes, we'll do that. Moving on.
Well, I'd just like to say that irrespective of which, everyone expects you to be one or the other. And there's pros and cons from either side.
Mm.
And
for listeners that don't know, Scotland has a referendum vote to choose whether Scotland should remain part of the United Kingdom of Great Britain. Yes or no, that's the question and the answer, yes or no, on the 18th of September 2014. And the Scottish National Party are putting together a case for...
They've already put it together.
Yeah, they've put together a case to say that Scotland should not be part of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and we should vote that we should leave
an independent,
completely independent country. However, we retain the monarchy and we retain the sterling pound.
And the military as well.
I think they want to stay as part of the military. But it's very complicated because it's not just a dream of, well, we were taken over by the English 200 odd years ago. Let's stop now. Moving on.
I think this way.
Yeah. I'll maybe tell you if I'm having a drink with you, Nick. Ivy Fox has also cut back. She says, Richard, she didn't think was from Caithness, but from the Hebrides. She asked which island is, and is his first language Gaelic, and how is modern island life compared to the mainland? Richard?
I'm sorry, I'm not from the Hebrides, or Caithness, as you say. I grew up in a west coast town called Oban.
Mainland.
On the mainland, which just, well, a place just north of Oban called Connell. It's a gateway to the islands.
Mm-hmm.
It's
the main ferry port.
The main ferry port to the Hebrides. And I'm actually not from there either, because I was born in Wales. I've got English parents, Irish grandparents, and I'm a cocktail.
You are. You're Britain. British.
Or some would say a mongrel, but I would say a cocktail of Britain. Mm-hmm. I don't know any better than being in Scotland, because I've lived there all my life, barring 2 years. We did get taught Gaelic at school, and I've spoken Gaelic since then with colleagues and stuff, but it's not my first language. I struggle with English, to be honest.
Okay. Bellfleur45 is wondering whether Sandy and Deezy learned Gaelic at school, and if so, could they say a few words in your podcast, and did I ever learn it? No, I never learned it, and no, Deezy and Sandy are not learning it. They are not at a Gaelic school.
I'll teach them.
He can. And so I'm afraid they can't say a few words in my podcast in Gaelic.
They're all known. Louise, Deezy, Sandy are all known as Gaelics, which is a non-Gaelic speaking Northern Scot.
Is that a derogatory term?
No, not necessarily. It's just a factual term.
Mm-hmm.
It's same as an often confused word. Sassenach is a Lowland Scottish or Southern Scottish non-speaking, non-Gaelic speaking Scot.
Doesn't bother me, I don't speak it, because I know a little bit of French, but my brain doesn't do languages. And you know how we're all geared for doing craft stuff. Richard's all geared for doing engineering stuff and maths and that way, and some people are geared for doing languages. If the nearest Gaelic school is sort of unit is in Thurso, and if we were close enough and it was their school, I'd be more than happy for them to go.
If they wanted to learn.
But as it is, their school does not do that just now. They'll get it probably at high school, but as it is just now,
we got it every week.
We used to just get French.
In primary school. And then it was an option in high school.
Mm. Languages are wonderful things, so hopefully they'll learn it, and more other languages too.
And the good thing is you learn about, not so much up here because there's a lot more Scandinavian origin of names, but definitely down in the west coast and the Highlands, the place names and just general
background
is all Gaelic. Originated.
Mm-hmm.
So
quite, it is quite interesting.
It's nice to know where things
as well. It's nice to know where things come from. And the last question we've got is from Jamie, GDoll25. Can you tell us which craft came first for you, and which is your favourite or strongest? My first craft, Mum did teach me to knit, and she also bought me a little how to embroider kit when I was a little girl. But when I was 18, I always loved sort of doodling and did art for a little bit at school, and I did painting. But when I was 18, I saw somebody doing cross-stitch, and I did a lot of cross-stitch for quite a long time. And then I went on to doing card making, paper crafting, and then I went on to do a bit of knitting, a bit of crochet and sewing. And my favourite, I would say, that's quite a difficult question because I do like all of them. The one I find myself doing the most is knitting. And I do enjoy doing the sewing, and I really love doing embroidery properly. But I find I get a bit frustrated because it doesn't go quite as fast as I want. But I love looking at embroidery on the wall. Just adore it. And I love looking at thinking, oh, there's more in that picture than I could ever possibly remember. So, all of them. So thank you very much for your most wonderful questions, and I hope we answered them to your satisfaction, and now our drams are empty.
We'll have to go and do You fill them with something else.
Break into something else. So we would like to fill your glass with the best whiskey there is in this magic night out. So let's listen to Big Ben chime in the new year.
And the bells. Can I play the bells?
Yes, play the bells.
That's Daisy's new Hello Kitty.
Bell for our bike. I'll now ask you to look up at the Magic Hall ceiling to show us the Edinburgh fireworks, a la the Great Hall of Harry Potter.
And if you're in Oban, you can stick your head out the door.
In here.
And listen to all the boats in the harbour toot their horns and the ferries.
And we'll all hold hands and start singing Auld Lang Syne. Don't cross your hands first. We have to do that in the second verse. This tune was written by Richard's mugger Robert Burns, and the words are an old Scots poem. It's about looking backwards and also forwards. In the next episode, I look forwards into 2014, the year of Scotland's homecoming, the Commonwealth Games comes to Glasgow, and the Ryder Cup in Scotland too. And also the referendum on the 18th of September. So, like I said, it's all about us next year. And I am, of course, taking you along for the ride. It only remains for me to wish you all a very happy new year and lang may your lum reek. Sláinte fá. Sláinte
fá. Should all acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should all take